Okay, we're picking up the Gemara on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. We are 7 lines from the bottom, the words Amar Shmuel. So we're discussing again Netilas Hashem on Shabbos being Malacha. So now the Gemara continues. Gemara says Amar Shmuel Shalek Dag Manayam. Someone takes a fish from the ocean. Kevan She Yavash Bo Kesela Chayav. As long as it's dry, spot as wide as a selam, you're going to be chayav for considering Netilas Hashem at that point. Meaning at that point, when we assume this much of the fish had died, Rashi says, and it's definitely going to die. In which case, it's considered as if it's already dead, and therefore you have killed it on Shabbos. So the Gemara now says, Amar Rav Yosi bar Avin ubein snapirav, that this ruling only applies where the dry spot is between its fins. And a dry spot anywhere else in the fish is not necessarily going to assume that that the fish is definitely going to die, therefore you wouldn't be chayav for Netilas Hashem. Amar Ravashi lotema yavish mamish ela afilu da avin riri. Ravashi says that don't assume that we're talking about the spot is actually dry, but rather, even if it forms drops of riri, types of a greasy, grimy thing, like a little bit like slimy thing, then someone touches it, the fish is going to be considered dead. And Rashi points out that again, it's something that the surface starting to become sticky. At that point, we're assuming that that's just a getter of when it's going to become dead. The Rishonim are bothered by the question, though. At the end of the day, how come you're not chayav for tzad? How come you're not going to be chayav for trapping? So there's different answers given. And Pashas, the Rashi gives, and it's a different tarot, that it's basically in like a fish tank already. So you already have, you don't have the malach of tzad, so you're not worried about it over there. Okay, now the Gemara continues. The Gemara now says, Hamar Mar Bar Hamdure Amar Shmuel Hoshit Yadol Lamei Be'ema. So now the Gemara says if someone extends his hand inside of an animal on Shabbos, and then he dislocated the embryo that was inside of it, and therefore Rashi says he caused the animal to miscarry, and the animal, the ubar inside, the embryo died, chayav, you're going to be chayav, not because of Netilas Hashem, but as a different reason we're going to see in a moment. The Gemara says, my tama, what is the reason you're going to be chayav in this situation? The Gemara says, Amar Rava, Baram Dure Asfara Li. Rav Dure said, explain that, there's a far, here's the reasoning. Lav Amar of Sheshes. Rav Sheshes told us, Hi man, the talash kishuta mehizme vehigi. We had this lashona section of zayin. Someone who detaches like type of a thorn bushes, things that, and brambles on Shabbos, mechayev shum oker davar megidula. Going to be chayev for uprooting something from its place of growth, even though he didn't detach them directly from the ground. We're still considering that apparently there's a concept that when you uproot something from the area where it's growing, that's another issue. The Gemara says hachanami. So to over here, when you dislocate an embryo, mechayev mishum oker davar megidula. At the end of the day, person will be chayev because you uprooted something from the place where it grows, and therefore it's considered as if he's done the malacha of kotzer. That's what we're assuming, that this will be a told of kotzer, even though you didn't physically detach it from the ground, you're still going to be chayav. That's the Gemara's chiddush over here. Gemara says Amar Abaye, and a similar thing. Gemara says high mind to tell it to the next amud. Petira meuna dechatz, but someone who removes this type of fungus from a pitcher. Rashi says that it grows on the sometimes it has the fungus that used to grow on the side of the pitcher. Mechayav b'shem oker davar megidula. Therefore, that's also going to be chayav because you uprooted something in the place where it grows, even though again here is not something that's attached to the ground. So the Gemara assumes that we get the principle that you can have a concept of mechayav oker b'shem davar megidula even it's not detaching from the ground, it could still mechayev a toldav kotzer, to which the Gemara asked the kasha. Basically, Ravoshi has the kasha on this. Is that really true? Hatolish me'atzitz nakov chayev v'sheinu nakov pater. He says that, is that really true? Because at the end of the day, when you have a flower pot that has a hole in it, so if you're removing something from this flower pot that has a hole, then you're going to be chayav because it's considered as yanikos from the ground. We had this a few times already, that it's considered attached to the ground halachically, and therefore, since it grows nourishment from the ground, it's as if you've done the malach of kotzer. However, when it comes to something that's not, does not have a hole, so therefore it's not considered as yanikos from the ground, it's not considered it's getting its nourishment from the ground, then we're going to see that you're going to be putter. But at the end of the day, why don't you assume that's considered the area, like why don't we say Mishum Oker Davar Megidulo? You should assume that you're uprooting something from its place of its growth, and that's why it should be chayav. So Gemara answers, what's the chiluk between this Mishnah and the cases that we just brought? The Gemara says, Afasama Hanu Lav Ravise Hacha Hainu Ravise, that there in the case of the plant, that's not the place that it usually grows, right? It's not usually sown in that area, so therefore you're not going to be chayav. However, here, when it comes to these inyanim that we discussed, the three cases that we had, right? We had the cases of the uprooted item and the fungus and the embryo, all those cases, that's normally where these things grow. So therefore, we are going to assume that principle of Mishum Oker Davar Megidula is going to apply in a place where it normally grows, and that's the Chayav, and therefore you're going to be told of Kotzer. Now the Mishnah also told us that Chayav Of, that the Marna is going to ask a question. Amar, if we're not Kosvin Tfilin Agabi Or Shal Of Tahor. So So when we discuss that they have ore, that they have skins, so here the Gemara mentions the skins with regards to the oros of a bird. So the Gemara says that now, the Chedesh Gemara says that we're allowed to write tefillin with the skins of a kosher bird. Again, assuming the gedder of usually is that if you have a thick skin, that's going to be kosher for use of a oros as for tefillin. So now the Gemara says, Rav Yosef, my kamashman, what is Rav Huna teaching us? The Islay or that the bird has this thick skin that's going to be kosher. Tanina, we already learned this in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah tells us a chov ben chayav. The Mishnah tells you that someone who bruises a bird is going to be chayav on Shabbos. The only way you're going to be chayav for bruising a bird is if it has oros, if it has this thick skin, and therefore it's going to be nitzar adam, and therefore you're going to be chayav. So the Gemara says, what's the chiddush? You don't need me to tell you this. Once I know this halacha that has oros lagabi Shabbos, then I know it's pashut that if it's a kosher animal, you're allowed to write tefillin with this type of skin. The Gemara says, Amar le'abai tuva kamashma. No, really, there is a lot of things that we're learning from this. So then if it was only because of the Mishnah, then I would have thought that a bird that has a skin is only going to be kosher because I would have thought, it's going to be chayav on Shabbos. So let me read it again. That if it was a Mishnah, I would have thought the following. That I would have thought that since it's full of, it has all these holes in them, and therefore, because the feathers create all these holes, it's not going to be kosher for tefillin. The word Rashi says, we have the drush of uchsaftem, there has to be kosuftam, there has to be perfect writing. So if you have holes in the, it's going to have holes in the parchment that you're going to be using, maybe I would have assumed it's going to be pasul. So the Gemara says, no, because kamashman, there's a chiddush of Rav Huna, because they teach us in Eretz Yisrael that any hole which the ink passes, it seems to be any hole that's so small that the ink isn't going to go into it when you're writing, that's not considered a halachic hole that would make the parchment going to be pasul. So therefore, the parchment's going to be kosher in that situation. The cloth, rather, not the ksav. So that's what we're saying over here. So now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Mesivei Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera has a kash on this. The Gemara says, Bechnafa. The pasuk tells us when it comes to an ola of a bird, it says that you're going to bring the korban with its feathers, right? So Rashi says over here, we're discussing the process of shisua, which is when a bird, ola, is torn before you bring it on the Mizbeach. And the word Bechnafav, with its feathers, is teaching us that it has to be done with while the feathers are still on the bird. So the Gemara is saying, if the feathers are Lahashir Sa'or, that this is included. That the skin, that the birds, that the, when it comes to an ola, we bring up on the mizbeach with the flesh, we bring also its skin. So Gemara says, "V'isak adaitach orhu." That if you want to assume that the bird's skin is qualified as halachic skin. And then, so then, Heichim Rabbi Akkaras, how could the pasuk tell you that you're going to be chayev to bring it as a korban? It's not, it's skin we don't bring as a korban. So then, how could you bring the skin over here? So the Gemara says, Amar le'abai, orhu, rechman rabbi. No, that over here, you're right, it's, halachically, it's going to be considered skin, and it's going to be thick enough skin that you're mechayev on Shabbos, and it's kosher for tefillin. However, when it comes to over here, the Torah decided to include it as something that you bring on this be'ach as an exception to the rule. Rashi and Chumash actually quotes why. Some of you to the Gemara's answer we're going to see in a moment, but the Gemara doesn't say beferish. But that when the ani, he doesn't have it. Rashi says it smells terrible. So why are you bringing it? So Rashi quotes on Chumash, I believe, if I remember correctly. He says over there, when it comes to this, is that Hashem wanted the ani to feel good about himself. If you start taking out all the feathers and look tiny, look at this Nebuch, little tiny korban that he's bringing. He can't afford anything. So we keep it on, even though it smells bad, and even that we have that. So Gemara says, Ikner Amram Rabbi Zera, Alpha number 2. So some say that report that there was another way around. Rabbi Zera was trying to bring a raya from this price. So Bechnafav, that we learned that with its feathers, the Rabbos, or is including, it's teaching us the skin. A bird's ola is going to be orphaned on the Mizbeach. The Amrit Bishlama Orhu. If you're going to tell me that the bird's skin is going to be qualified as a halachic skin to be able to use for Mechayev and Shabbos and be used for tefillin, then Hainu the Itzrich Kral Rabbi. Then I need a Pasuk Dafka to tell me that it should be included and bring it on Mizbeach. Ela Yamrit Lav Orhu. But if you tell me that it's not considered a halachic skin to be used as tefillin, am I Itzrich Kral Rabbi? Why does the Pasuk need to include it to bring it on the Mizbeach? If it's not a halachic skin, Avada, I should bring it on the Mizbeach because it's part of the animal. So therefore, it's going to be part of the animal and therefore you bring the whole animal. You bring it as a korban. So therefore, you bring a raya. So where's the in this version, Abaya now says, no, you can't bring a proof. You can tell me that it's halachically not going to be viewed as skin that you can use for tefillin. Yet I need the pasuk to teach me something else. I need the pasuk to tell me, sorry, that you're going to bring it on this behalf. Because you would have thought to tell me that since the bird's skin is full of holes, mice, it's considered very disgusting to bring it on this behalf. The pasuk therefore has to tell you that you do bring it on this behalf, as we quoted a nice from Rashi, that the ani should feel good about what he's bringing. So therefore, Hakadosh Baruch Hu allows him to bring it even. No, it doesn't smell good. So the Gemara continues. Abaye mine mar bered ravina ravi. It's like malich tov tefillin agabi or shel dag tor. So now that we discussed the mentioning of the bird, so now we come on to halacha. What about writing from the skin of a kosher fish? Amar lo im yav Eliyahu v'yomar. So if Eliyahu is going to come, he'll tell us the halacha. So he says, what do you mean? Ma im yav Eliyahu v'yomar. What do you mean? Eliyahu is going to come and tell us the halacha. Rashi says over here that when it comes to this, when a At the end of the day, halacha is supposed to be established right now by us, right? La b'shamayim, Rashi quotes it. It's not in the heavens. We should answer the shaila. So the Gemara says, what does it mean that ilay ma idle or idle isle or? So what is he actually going to come to determine? So Gemara says, maybe he's going to tell us whether the fish has skin or not. So hachazina de isle or it does have skin that should be valid to use to write tefillin. Ve'odestad, and also we learn in the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us atamos hadag ve'oro matzilin ve'olameis, that the bones of fish and the skin are going to save things inside of it from becoming tamei. We know that when you have oel, when you have tumas oel, there's a dead body or one son in a house, so then everything in the house becomes tummy. So the Torah is mechadish that a klei cheres, which is tamid patil, those in Eretz Yisrael, I mean this week's parsha in Chukas, so anything that tamid patil is covered up, is going to be sealed off, is going to be tahor inside of it. So the Gemara is mechadish that if you have bones to use as something, as it was covering, it was covered by these fish bones, that is valid, and the things inside of a klei cheres, of the earthenware vessel, would remain tahor. Now, we have a general principle, the only could be matzil is things that are not become tummy themselves. Now, if the fish bones over here would be something, and the fish skin over here would be something that's considered part of the body, then it would be susceptible to tuma. From the fact that it's not susceptible to tuma, so the Torah is mechadish that clearly it's going to be different than the actual body itself, and therefore we should be assumed that it's or that it's going to be considered something else. It's going to be considered its skin. So the Gemara says im yavel v'yomar. So the Gemara says you're right. So Ella, so right. The Gemara says Ella im yavel v'yomar ipsak kazuma minei ilo paska zumine. So rather, the Rav Nachman Yitzchak was responding as follows. He was telling us that Eliyahu is going to come and he's going to tell us whether or not it smells terrible. Apparently, the Gemara doesn't say it first. Apparently, if it smells bad, it's ma'os, so therefore it's not something you should be using for tefillin. So therefore, he's going to come to tell us whether that's a problem or not. Others explain differently. The Ran explains maybe that the Zuma is a ruchnias thing, that it's a ruchnias thing, that you can't use it for dog. Okay, whatever Eliyahu is going to come, he's going to be matar to the Shiloh. Gemara says now, a story. Gemara says, Shmuel v'karna avik yasve aguda dinar malka, that Shmuel and Karna were sitting on the banks of apparently the king's river, the area in Babel, a famous river. Gemara says, chazinu lemaya deka dolu v'achore. They said the waters, what happened to the waters over here, that they were rising. They were rising in this murky water. So now, what happened? So the Amar lei Shmuel v'karna, Shmuel said, well, wow, it was raising, the water came up so much. And a great person is coming from Eretz Yisrael, and his stomach is hurting, and the water is coming to greet him. So that's how Rashi explains that apparently it wasn't windy at all, and yet there were these waves coming and forming in the river. So therefore Shmuel knew that he was a great tzaddik was coming, and apparently the way Rashi describes it is that the water was rising high enough on both sides, like Ilu forming like a type of machitza, in order that he should have tznias if he has to, because he apparently was having to use the bathroom. That's how he knew that it was someone that was a big tzaddik. However, Tosfos quoted a different version. Maybe it was just that the fact that he saw there was crazy waves, it wasn't even windy. He saw that the Dafka Hashem was preventing this boat from drinking the water there, because Shmuel was a doctor, to point out. He was a doctor and he knew that it was very dangerous to drink the water, so therefore, since the water wasn't coming close to him, Hashem was preventing him, Hashem was stopping him from drinking the water, they must have been a big tzaddik, in order that he shouldn't have pains in his stomach. So the Gemara says, whatever happens, so the Gemara says, so v'kadalamaya l'kabula l'apedamaya, so again, the water's rising to greet this tzaddik. So now he was telling him, go smell his jug. I mean, this was Karna's job, is actually smelling the wine, meaning go check him out to see if he was a Talmud Chacham, and go test him if he was someone who is deserving of kavod. So the Achronim Ben Yoyada points out, what do you mean to ask if he's deserving of kavod? You just said a great tzaddik is coming from Eretz Yisrael, a great Torah, so the Bepashas obviously is someone who knows Torah, so what do you have to bring this whole test? So Ben Yoyada explains, maybe he was just a tzaddik in Maisim Toivim, but he wasn't a big Talmud Chacham. He wants to know if he's Talmud Chacham also, to know that he should be Mechavidim. Gemara says now, Azal Ashkechel Rav, so Karna went and he met Rav, so apparently that was the big tzaddik. Rav was the gadol ador in the borderline Tana Moros. So and where it says Amarlei Menayin Shein Kosev in Tefillin, he's a Talmud Rebbe, right? He's the gadol ador in the time, the first generation Amora, borderline Tana. So he says now, how do I know that we don't write Tefillin only on animal of a skin of a kosher animal? So Rav responded, the pasuk says, "Lamanti atoras Hashem b'ficha." The pasuk says that Hashem's word will be in your mouth, which we learn out. Mina moser b'ficha, that the drasha is that what's permissible to bring in your mouth, meaning it only could be something that's kosher for you to eat, is something you could use for your tefillin. So then Karna asks another question. Rav says, "Menayin ladam shu adam." How do I know that dam, when it comes to dam nida, the Gemara learns out, the Mishnah tells us that there are going to be different shades of dam. Right? I think there's four shades of dam. That are considered Metame a woman, only if it's red. The Gemara learns out that different colors are going to be like red. They also different shades of red and then even black. Rashi just says is dried out red. So you say, did you know the pasuk that teaches that red is going to be defined as blood for halacha over here of dam nida? The Gemara says shenemar. The pasuk says vayira Moav mineged esamayim adumim kadam. The Moav saw basang malachim. They saw the water from far and it looked like red like blood. So the fact that it says red like blood, that shows you that only red is going to be blood. And we use that linya nida, we learn the drush over there, only red like blood is going to be for nida. Gemara says now, third question Karna asked, Rav, minayin lamila shabosa makum, how do I know that you have mila? The pasuk says bris mila, but it doesn't say where to do it. So how do I know that stafka on the mila is private parts? And Gemara says, Rav answers, nemar kalan orlaso. The pasuk says when it comes to mila, that it says orlaso. It says literally thing that's blocking him. Venemar la harlan orlaso. And the pasuk also with regards to orla of a fruit tree, it says also orlaso. So that we are learning the zirish. The Gemara is saying malahan davar shosa pri, that we learn just like when it comes to the orla halachas of orla, it's something that is producing fruit, because if you don't have a fruit tree, then there's no shreichas of orla. Then the whole thing is not nogeh. Because the whole thing about fruit, that the first 3 years you can't have hana from them, and the fourth year you bring them to Yerushalayim. Right, so the Gemara says Afkan Davar Sheose Pri. So here also, with regards to halacha, is of where to do the mila is something that produces fruit, meaning pri is your offspring is considered your fruit. So Karna responded, maybe you should respond. Maybe it should do the orla on your heart somehow. You perform an open heart surgery every time you do the bris mila. The pasuk says Amartam Orlas Levavtem. The pasuk says the lashon of orla Orlas Levavtem, that you're the blocking of your heart. You're going to be mal that. That's the lashon. You're going to do tshuva. Ema Ozna. So the Gemara says maybe it could even be your ear, because dichsev hine arila oznam. The pasuk says that their ear is blocked, arila lashon of block. So also maybe it's going to be in your ear. So the Gemara says, and Rav responded to his answer. The Gemara says that when it comes to orla done in orlaso tama, we learn orlaso literally that it's complete and a complete expression. Rashi points out that it doesn't tell us, the other ones don't tell you who you're talking about. And also the lashon of orlaso is a similar lashon, as opposed to orlas levavchem is something else, or arila is something else. So therefore we're not dorish that. Orlaso tama vein done in orlaso tama. Only from of the two that are complete to each other, then we'll learn it out. And we're not going to learn it out from orlaso, the lashon which is not complete expression, orlas inotama, which is orlas, which is not complete expression, as I mentioned from Rashi, that the other one is not going to tell you who it's coming to, so therefore we're not learning it out. So Gemara says, Rav, continue, Amarle, Mash, Mecha, what's your name? So he responded, Karna. Karna is my name. Amarle, yeah, Rav, typical Karnach Be'ine. So you had a play on words over here, and he cursed him that a horn, a Karna, will come out from your eye. Why was he bothered by this? Apparently he was in a ton of pain, and he was cursing him. And we see, the Gemara tells us that that a person who is in a ton of pain, he can't be called Chayav for the things that he'll do. I mean, it wasn't right of Rav to curse him out over here. Rav was apparently very upset at the end of the day that he was wasting his time while he was in a lot of pain. He had to go to the bathroom. Rav had major stomach problems, so since he was in a ton of pain and was suffering, he cursed him out and he told him that you should have like the type of cataract they described it in his eye. And this, in fact, happened. The Gemara Rav Vasa tells us that a horn kilu developed in Karna's eye, and that's actually what happened. So the Gemara continues. So Shmuel came into Rav's house. Ochle nahama desar v'kasdaras. Again, Shmuel was a doctor, so he knew what to give him. He gave this barley bread and this fish type of the Gemara based in the Gemara in Beitza, which is like fish that's fried with fish fat and flour. So he gives all the stuff that apparently would lead to help him like a laxative, to help him make diarrhea. And also give him beer. So he prevented him from going to the bathroom. In order that he should have diarrhea and let it come out, so he should be healthy. Light Rav Amar, he was in so much pain, he cursed. So he said, Rav cursed him out. He says, whoever's calling me so much anguish, so much suffering, is not going to have any children. And this will show that Shmuel only had daughters and didn't have any children. And that's what happened. And then the Gemara also relates that when Rav saw that Shmuel was trying to help him, he ended up feeling badly. He gave brachas and mechabed, even though Rav was much bigger. Tam and Chacham. Gemara says now, Ketanai. We have a machlokas Tanai with regards to this. Minayan lamila sheba osamakum. Meaning that the drasha with regards to how do we know about orla is an osamakum. Gemara says we learn that from machlokas Tanai. Nemar kana orla. So the pasuk says over here in regards. It says it's orla, orlaso v'nemalana, orlaso. It also says, with regards to the fruit trees, it also says orlaso. So the Gemara says, malalana, the virtual sapri, afkana, the virtual exactly, the rabiosha. This rabiosha is the exact rasha that we had before, orlaso from, when regards to the fruit trees, from orlaso of a person giving mila, that's just in his private parts. So the Gemara says, ramnasin omer, this is the chedesh, why we bring this price. Ain't no turk, you don't have to have this chedesh, because the real omer, v'aral zachar, lo yimol es bizar orlaso. That it says, a person, a male, who's not gonna circumcise himself. So the Gemara says, over here, malcolm shiniz, that a male sedafkim is the area which we know that the male gender is going to be decided between a male and female, which is osamakum. Therefore, that's why you know that it's in osamakum. It's in the area where it's a man's private part. Gemara now continues. Gemara says, "Tanar abanu v'lerner b'risa kosfin tefillin agabi or beima tohura." Someone's allowed to write tefillin on the on the skin of a kosher domesticated animal. And also, the chiddush over here is that sometimes non-domesticated animals are different. Here, even non-domesticated animals' skin as well. We're going to see that in the question in a moment, but we're going to see that even the skin of the nevelos and trefos of these species is going to be kosher. And the tefillin are going to be wrapped up by their hair. And they're sewn with their sinews. That okay? Any sewing of the tefillin has to be done with these kosher species. We're talking about the bottom of here where you sew them together. And these are all lachos v'shinah. That the tefillin are wrapped in their hair, v'nisparas beginin, and they're sewn with their sinews. Again, so some medayev that only these last two halachas are halacha moshina. Maybe the kosher tefillin al gabei behema Torah is not necessarily halacha moshina tefillin. Just a drasha that we have. Okay, whatever it is, whether it's halacha moshina tefillin or not, we still keep it. The Gemara says, "Aval in kosher lo al gabei or behema tmeah v'lo gabei or chaya tmeah." That we don't write tefillin on the hide of a non, on the skin rather of a non kosher animal and the skin of a non kosher undomesticated animal. V'ino tzarich lomar gabei or behema tmeah v'lo gabei. Obviously, you don't have to mention the fact that you're not going to write that on the nevela. So trefos, the trefa is a nevela, we know, is something that just dies, right? And a trefa is something that you don't have proper shechita. And the tefillin are not wrapped in their hair. And as far as beginning, you're not allowed to use them to sew their sinews to sew around the areas you need to sew around. In the batim, over here. When, so the Gemara says, there was a certain baitos. Baitos was a type of person who was albikoros. There were talmidim. The Avos Amar Nasan tells us that it was Antigonus Sosho, he had Tzadok and Antigonus, who both, their Talmidim became, their later generations became Alpikorsim, right? The Tzadukim are after Tzadok, and the Antigonus is over here, is Baitosi, Baitosi was named after that one as well, that student. So the Gemara says over here that they were the Alpikorsim. So now the Gemara says that he asked him a question, how do we know, where do we learn out that you write tefillin from the skin of a kosher animal and that of that is not kosher animal? So he said the Drash, Abishur responded, Dechsil Mandi Adrash Mavicha, Midavar Motavicha. And we learn out something, it's only permissible mouth, only something's kosher, can you use it? So Gemara says now, but then, al gabi or nevelos trefos ayikasva, then the tefillin shouldn't be written on nevelos trefos of kosher animals, those two aren't allowed to be eaten. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shua responded, I'm going to tell you an analogy, a parable. What is this? Two people who were sentenced to death by the government, echad or gomelach, echad or aspikulator. That one person was executed by the king himself, the other one was by his chief executioner. Ezom and Mushuba. Who is better? Avi Omer Shar Gomelach, the one who Dafka, the king went out of his way to kill him. That shows that he Dafka was mashkiach on him, that he wanted to kill him for whatever reason. So at least he gave him the cover that he should kill him himself. So it's showing us that when it comes to Nevelos and Trefos, that the day of Akash Baruch Hu, they're going to be more shakashiv than these non-kosher animals, and therefore they're going to be tahar for tefillin. Tosfos just asks, "What do you mean?" But at the end of the day, that only explains nevelos because they die in their own. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is killing them. But when you shech them, where in the world am I learning that there is anything any heter for this? So Tosfos says, "With the fact that nevelos, we have the trusha, we can learn from there that that we learn that lav davka. Therefore, it means that any species which is going to be kosher is going to be allowed to be used." Now the Gemara continues. Gemara says, "Elamayata." The Gemara says, "But then yochlu." So then elamayata yochelu. Then if it's so chashu that Hashem himself killed him, then nevelos should be eaten. So he responded to him, "Amar leat." At the end of the day, you have a nice svar. I have a nice drush over here for this, but at the end of the day, svar doesn't count it out. The pasuk tells us explicitly you're not allowed to have nevela. We don't darshan nice taiches in the Torah. The Torah tells explicitly what is the halacha over here. You're not allowed to eat any nevela. So therefore, you can't eat it no matter what. So then the baitus responded. Amrele kalus. That is actually very good. Shkoyach. Now the mission is going to continue the dinner of banan of ibud. The verse says in osin hemli v'shabbos. And one is not allowed to prepare brine on Shabbos. And the Rishonim explained because apparently it looks like you're doing it to preserve foods, which is done maybe I'm done for after Shabbos, which is a problem. Turning on to the next level now. Aval osahu esmei hamelach. But you're allowed to prepare salt water. V'tovel behem. And you dip your bread into them, and you're allowed to cook food. The Gemara is going to mention what's the difference between salt water and hemli, which tell lechora they're very similar things. Why is one mutter, one's aser? And now the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yossi. I'm Rabbi Yossi. V'halohu hemli ben meruba ben muat. It's going to be brine whether it's a large amount or a small amount. V'elo hemli melach hamutar. So rather, these are the types that are going to be mutter. Nosin shem lachachilo sochamayim losochamelach. Someone first adds oil to the water or the salt before he mixes the water and the salt water together, and then that's going to be mutter because the oil is weakening the koyach and therefore doesn't look like you are you're doing the salting over here. Some say it's domel ibud. Some say the whole issue of Me'melach, the Rambam seems to say that it's domel bishul. It's like kovech kimavushal, like you're doing bishul on Shabbos, and the lechorim nafkamina would be, is it mutter going to be mutter on yantav? But we get to the mice and the machlokas. So in other words, it's my kamar. So what are we talking about? When it was machlokas on my brine and the salt water, the mercy of Amar Vidamar Shmuel, hachikamar, in osin Me'melach merubin, avalosin Me'melach mu'atin. Someone's allowed to prepare a large quantity of salt water. However, you're not allowed to prepare a large quantity. However, salt, a small amount you are allowed to prepare. And this together usually is for the next day. You're not allowed to save it for the next day. So this actually comes up where, infrequently, but when you have, we had it a few years ago, when you have Friday night is the first night of a Lila Seder, and you forgot to make the salt water before, so on Shabbos, this would be nogeya, you're not allowed to make enough for the second night also, because that would be a problem of Merubin. Now the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Alohu, Himle ben Merubin, Mimatim, but isn't it considered Brian, whether it's small or Mar? Gemara now analyzing Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Le'esra Lahatir, Rabbi Yosef coming to forbid or permit both the large and small quantities, or is it coming to be Maker or Machmi? Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Lahatir, Rabbi Yosef is coming to permit both the large and small quantities, Medalok Tani, Rabbi Yosef Yosef, because Rabbi Yosef is saying that it's forbidden. It just says, hello, Himle, it doesn't matter, meaning it doesn't matter, Katana Kama, what you say, and therefore I'm going to say both of them be Maker. However, Amale Rabba, Hamad, the Seif of Elohim, Melech, Mutarn, but the Seif of the Mishnah, which tells us Rabbi Yosef seems to continue, and he's saying that these are the salt waters permitted. Michal Rabbi Yosef Le'esor. That doesn't imply that the previous part, that the Himle, that the, when it comes to the brine, is going to be Machmir, and therefore it's going to say it's Asr. So Gemara says, Rabba Le'esor. Therefore Rabba disagrees, and he says Rabbi Yosef is coming to Asr both cases. And Gemara now says, V'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan Le'esor. Rabbi Yochanan also said Rabbi Yosef is coming to forbid both cases. Tanam Mahachi, we have a Braisa that supports that Rabbi Yosef is coming to be Machmir in both cases. Einosin Mei Melach Merubin. Someone's not allowed to put a large quantity of salt water on Shabbos. In order to be pickling vegetables that are made in a gistra as a type of broken shard that we had before, right? Someone's allowed to prepare a small quantity of salt water, ve'ochel ben pito, and eat his bread with it, or add it to cooked food. Amar Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Yosi said, he says, the fact that it's large or small doesn't matter. Is it a malach or not? Is it an isra or a banan or not? It goes to its domed le'ibud. It looks like tanning, right? They used to tan the hides in the mizeach. So it looks like that when you're tanning, you're putting it to doing salting. So you're doing salting or not? So it doesn't matter if it's a large amount or not. Both of them are going to be usher. So we see explicitly the Braisa is following Shita of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabba. So now the Gemara says, these are the types of salt water that's going to be permitted. No sin shemen chamelach o shemen umayim. Now one adds oil or salt water to the water. As long as he did not first add the salt to the water, that would be mutter. So now, the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Azin snun ve'esrog simon." The simon is a strong radish esrog. There's a mnemonic to remember it. The Gemara says, "Tanir Rabbi beChaviva, eno simon melach izin." Someone is not allowed to prepare strong salt water on Shabbos. The Gemara asks, "My melach izin? What is considered strong salt water?" Rabbi Yosef bar Abba, Demre Tavaya. They both said, "Kol shebeitz tzafa behead." Any salt water with egg will float on it. But that's the shish, that's the amount that it says. Rashi says because that such a strong mixture is going to be like pickling, and therefore it's going to be aser. And they explain that is going to be made even a small quantity is usher. That's also nogea. If you're making it on Friday night, you're making salt water for, let's say, the little seder. So that's also this the shear of the common. The Gemara says, "What's the shear of Rabba? Trei tilta milcha v'tilta maya." That 2/3 salt and 1/3 water is too much. If you make less than that shear, that would be okay. Usually, when you make salt water, you make much less than that. But you just have to be careful not to put 1/3 of salt water. The Gemara says, "Now, l'may avid lai. So what is this made for?" Amar Baro the Mur said, "It's made for a fish brine. That would by its being usher." Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Tanya Rabbi Yudah b'Chaviva ein molchin tznuna beitzah b'Shabbos." Someone is not allowed to salt a radish or an egg on Shabbos because the pashtus, when one is salting the 3 or 4 pieces together, that is improving them and making them hard, and that was similar, it's dome, to the tanning of hides. The pashtus is only the Darbanan, right? We will say, in uber ba'ochlin b'daraisa, but the Darbanan, this is going to be the din. The verse says, Rav Chiska, Meshmeh, Rav Atznun, Asr, Beitzu, Mutar, that a radish is going to be Asr, but an egg is going to be permitted. The verse says, Amar Rav Nachman, Mereish, Av Mechon, Apulga, first I would salt the radish in Shabbos, Amina, Av Sudikam, Av Sinulay, I'm going to be spoiling it. Amar Pulga, Churfe, Ma'alev, that Shmosa, the sharp radish is beneficial, Kimana, Shamina, Lahai, Tachi, Asr, Ula, Ve'amar, Bimarav, Malchik, Kishra, when I came to Ula, came from Baba to Eretz Yisrael, and he said that in Eretz Yisrael, they salt piles of radishes. I won't sprinkle the radishes on Shabbos, but I do dip them on Shabbos, because Rav Nachman wouldn't sprinkle on 2 or more radishes together, Rashi says, but he would dip them one at a time and eat them. So when you're separating the salt, it doesn't resemble at all the malacha of ibud of tanning, so therefore it's going to be mutter, and apparently doing it more than that would be a problem. A big shaila comes up when you're doing this when it comes to Israeli salad. What is the heter to do it by Israeli salad, lechor, you're doing more than a few vegetables at a time, and you're doing and you're salting it. So this is actually a big shayla in the poskim, and they point out that when it's cut up, potentially as a kula, is that it's chopped up. That's not the derech to do ibud either. So since it's chopped up, that's already nikkur. However, those are going to be machmir, and they're going to quote a heta that we're going to see in a moment. Tanya Rabbi Chaviva, I'll get to in a second. Eshok tzuna beitza ilmalek klipasim chitzona inan yotzim nei ma'am la'olam. This is just a health advice of the Gemara that says that eshok, a radish and an egg, whether or not when it were not for the klipas, for the shells, then it would never leave the stomach, meaning it would be extremely unhealthy. The Rashi says the inner parts of these foods binds and harden them, they would be bad for someone's digestion. The Rashi says, "Of Dimi, Amar Me'olam Lotava Gavra Biyama Destom." So now mentioning the thing about floating, we would discuss over here that a person never sink in this dome. In Yam HaMelech, that's what Yam HaMelech, you float in the Yam HaMelech. Amar Yosef, Afucha Destoim, his dome was turned upside down, Afucha Mila, and your words are upside down. Gavrahu Delo Tavak, Shura Tavak, implied that only a person never sunk, however, a piece of wood had sunk. It's not true. Amar Le'abai, Lo'abai Kamar. Abai said, no, it wasn't, he was saying that, he doesn't even mention it, not necessarily even mention it. Lo'ki Bekashura, obviously, a plank of wood is gonna float to Afila B'meim Elson Lo Tavak, because it always floats, wherever it is. Ever see always shipwreck, it always float up. Elafila Gavra De Tavak B'chol Me'im Elson. However, a person who does sink in an ocean, however, in the Dead Sea, he does not sink. What is the difference whether or not a person sinks in the Sea of Sodom? The following story happened with Ravin. Because he was once going by Rabbi Yirmiyah in the Dead Sea. So he asked him, there's a lot of wash with this water on Shabbos. Is it a refu or not? So again, a refu on Shabbos, when it comes to refu on Shabbos, it's going to be mutter if it's not nicker. If it's something that healthy people do, like have chicken soup. If you have a cold and that's why you're having chicken soup, it's mutter to have the chicken soup on Shabbos, even though you're dafka having for a cold, as long as you don't say so, because normal people have chicken soup all the time. So here also he's wondering, are you allowed to wash your eyes with the water of if your eyes are hurting, on with the Dead Sea water? Apparently they thought it was very healthy for their eyes. The Gemara says, Amar Leih, Rabbi Yirmiyah answered them, Shapir Dami, it's going to be mutter, and it's not good to be a nicker that you're doing it for the purposes of refuah on Shabbos. The Gemara says, Ma'o lemeipetz lemeifach. What about, is allowed to open your eyes and close them to allow the waters to come in? And is that considered refuah or not? People will say, oh, what is this guy doing? It must be he's doing this refuah on Shabbos, which is usher. And Agav, what's the whole gzera of refuah on Shabbos? Because gzera shchita siman, and they're going to come to grind the medicine, and therefore Chazal answered every type of refuah, everything. Even here, there's no shaychas to grinding water. We made a gzera on all refuah on Shabbos. The Gemara says, Amar Leih, Zula Shamati, I've never heard what Allah is going to be over here. Kiyotu Shamati. However, I did hear Damar Rab Zira, Zimnin La Bashmed Rab Masna, Vizimna Amar Bashmed Ma'ukva, and some days in the Mukva, Vitabai Bashmed Abu, the Shmuel Levi Amrin, some said they said it in the name of the father of Shmuel and Levi. So they each were the same Allah. What did they say? Chad Omar, one of them said, either Shmuel, the Abu de Shmuel or Levi, one of them said, Yan Besochai, Ayin Asr, to put wine inside of your eye is going to be Asr because it's nicker that you're doing that for refuah. Agava Ayin Mutar Ever, to put wine over the eye is going to be permitted. But Chad Omar, another one said, Rok Tafel, to put saliva in your eye is going to be burning, because that's clear. Rashi points out that's clear that's for medicinal purposes. The Gemara says, "Tistayim Davud Shmuel Hu Amar Yain Besocha Ayin Asur Agav Ayin Ha'Ayin Mutar." So the Pashas, maybe Shmuel is the one who says that it's going to the Avod Shmuel, the father of Shmuel is the one who says that putting it onto the eye is going to be permitted. However, putting it over the eye is going to be permitted. Midamar Shmuel, because Shmuel told us Halacha Shor Adam Pita Beyain, a person allowed to soak his bread in wine, but not Agav Ayin Shabbos, and put it over his eye on Shabbos. Dishamil Leimaman. So who did Shmuel hear this? Lav Dishamil Leimavu. Isn't it surely the Shmuel heard this from his father? And if Shmuel heard it from his father, then we know that Avod Shmuel must have been the one who told us the statement about putting wine inside his eye being forbidden on Shabbos. And where is this? But according to reason, Hadamar Shmuel, Shmuel also told us Rok Tafel Filah Gabay Ayin Asr. Shmuel told us different context of putting saliva in your eye is going to be forbidden on Shabbos. Dishmuel Man, who did he hear this from? Elim Dishmuel B'Avua. You can say he heard it from his father. El Levi V'Lo Chadamar. We said one was in the statement of Levi, and one was in the name of Shmuel. So obviously, this statement, it can't be that Shmuel knew both these statements. El Chad Shmuel B'Avua, B'Chad Shmuel B'Levi V'Lo Yadin V'Hamivua V'Em Levi. Since Shmuel told us both these statements, we don't know which one came from Shmuel, which one came from Levi. Therefore, both of them are come back to say we don't know which one are Levi and which one is Shmuel. So the guy was arguing. There's in the Amar Merk from Shmuel. Show them Kilurim Rav Shabbos. A person allowed to soak Kilurim is a type of paste apparently used as a refu on Shabbos. Merav Shabbos, but not Nagal by Enam, and put it over his eyes on Shabbos. But in a choshes, he doesn't have to worry that he's violating the halacha on Shabbos. The word says Bar Levi Havikai coming to Mar Ukva, and Bar Levi was standing in Mar Ukva. Chazid Avi Meifetz Pesach. Mar Ukva was coming and closing the eyes. And Pesach Shabbos, I'm like, he said, "Kulei vade lo shar lo shmuel." That this closing your eyes on that's clearly nikkah, that's refuah. So that is going to be usher. Okay, we'll pick up on the shalach le'Yeriyanu Meukvar Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. Just to point out, the one last thing I forgot to mention: if you pour oil in, the Gemara said clearly that pouring oil is going to weaken it. So we're going to see that is a heter that is brought down in the postgame as well. So when it comes to Israeli salad, just to point out, if you put oil in before you salting the oil, but before you salting the Israeli salad, that brought down in the postgame is also another heter. Again, everyone has to ask the Rav to come out, but this mamash comes out of this Gemara. Very lachol ma'isa subject when frequently every. Okay, Mirtz. So I'll count for today.